Brothers and sisters, synodality is a process of learning in which we Christians not only teach, but also learn. Before his election to the See of Peter, Cardinal Bergoglio recalled the words of Scripture. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. But today, he added, Jesus knocks from within. He wants to go out, and we must follow him. We need to go beyond our current mental and institutional boundaries, to go especially to the sick, poor, and marginalized, the suffering. The church is to be a field hospital. This idea of Pope Francis needs to be developed further. A field hospital must have the backing of a good hospital, a church, which is able to offer competent diagnosis, reading the signs of the times, prevention, strengthening the system of immunity against the infectious ideologies such as populism, nationalism, and fundamentalism, the therapy, and the long-term recovery, including the process of reconciliation and healing of the wounds, especially after times of violence and injustice. It will be in Ukraine, Gaza, and so on for generations. For this very serious task, the Church urgently needs allies. Its journey must be shared, a common journey, synodos. We must not approach the others with the pride and arrogance of the monopolistic owners of truth. Truth is a book that none of us has yet read to the end. Only Jesus can say, I am the truth. We are not Jesus. We are only disciples and followers of the only one who is allowed to say, I am the truth. And at the same time, he says, I am the way and the life, a truth that was not living and not a way would be more like an ideology, a mere theory. Orthodoxy must be combined with orthopraxy, right action. And we must not forget the third, deeper dimension of living in truth. This is orthopathy, right passion, desire, inner experience, spirituality, spiritual dimension of faith. Above all, it is through spirituality, the spiritual experience of individual believers and of whole church, that the Spirit gradually introduces us to the wholeness of the truth. These three need each other. Although orthodoxy, right ideas, can be intellectually attractive, without orthopraxy, right action, it is ineffective. And without orthopathy, right feeling, it is called hello and cello. Synodality is a return to the sources. Common searching and decision making characterize the church from the very beginning, not only in apostolic times, but also later in many councils and synods. This process has stopped at some point, especially in a confrontation with modernity, with political, social, scientific, and cultural revolutions, the European Church, especially the European Church, after specific traumas, like the terror of the French Revolution, retreated into a closed system. the system of closed Catholicism, which is a contradictio in adjecto, a contradiction, was losing the ability to communicate with its culture and social environment, with the development of scientific and political thought, with other churches and religions. This closed clerical system was not able to accept and embrace the inner plurality, the richness of various spiritual gifts, instead of diligent critical spiritual discernment, it silenced prophetical voices in the church. Some Christians, alarmed by the rapid changes of the world, wanted to make the church as an island of unchanging certainties. Moral panic and fear of the spirit of the age, Zeitgeist, took over, leading to deafness and blindness to the signs of the times. The Second Vatican Council attempted to lead the Church out of this dead end. It brought about an aggiornamento in ecclesiology, mainly developing the idea of episcopal collegiality, the dignity of the lay people, and the responsibility of all the baptized for the Church. The Council also addressed the ministry of priests, but it is clear that the reform task in this area is still unfinished. There are still several places where the parish priest sees himself as the pope of his parish. But the Church confers the gift of ineffability only one of its members, and then only under strictly limited conditions. And if even the Pope needs several consultative councils to make his decisions, how much more should a parish priest listen to those he has been sent to serve? Listen to parishioners is necessary also for our preaching. The best homilies are dialogical. They attempt to answer the real questions of the faithful. Sometimes the pastor begins with a rhetorical question, "Now let us ask a question," and then he asks a question that nobody asks, a question to which he already knows the answer. But sometimes God himself comes to us in a form of a question rather than an answer. There are some questions, they are so good that it is a shame to spoil them with our answers. A life of faith includes the courage to live with open questions toward the mystery. Someone once wrote on a wall in Prague subway, "Jesus is the answer." And someone added, "And what was the question?" Eric Fergerin wrote that a significant problem with Christians today is that they know the correct answers, but they have forgotten the questions. Answers without questions are like trees without roots. All our answers must lead to more questioning and searching. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus dies asking the question that many people in today's world ask: "My God, why have you forsaken me?" This is not a cry of despair, but a prayer in the form of a question. Our prayers, too, can take the form of questions, and many our questions can become prayers. Our ministry to people can also involve waiting together in the silence of Holy Saturday for the mysterious answer of Easter morning. Yesterday I taught you that Christian communities should take the form of a school of prayer, school of Christian maturity, and a school of a deeper contemplative approach to life. Someone said that priests today do not need much intellectual training because they meet people as children in the sacrament of baptism when they do not yet have reason, as the dying in the sacrament of anointing when they no longer have a reason, and in the sacrament of marriage when they have lost reason for a while. But we should also be with people when their reason gets vertigo when confronted with paradoxes of our world. Patience at the gate of mystery is also one of the faces of faith. We should bring the good experience of such synodal meetings to our ministry in parishes. We need to sit down at the table with those to whom we are sent, and not only with those who merely give us a passive nod. Sometimes people who are on the margin or on the edge are farther at sea, farther across the boundaries. Creating a climate of trust is essential so that everyone can express their views openly. This principle is already enriched in the rule of Saint Benedict. Before the abbot makes a decision, he must listen to the opinion of all, because God can speak even through the youngest and most humble member of the community. We have seen how moments of silence and contemplation are essential. If this practice were introduced in parliaments and government proceedings, the political culture would look very different. The report of the last year's synod speaks of the need for the Church to look for alternatives to the ills of our time, to the individualism that keeps people inward, to the populism that stirs up hostility and divides people, and to the kind of globalization that levels and overlays the richness of diversity. The process of synodal renewal of the Church will be a multi-speed one. Some local churches have long been ready for reforms, while others have not. Local churches must take into account the culture of a given society and the rhythm of its development. On the other hand, it cannot be overlooked that the rhythm of development is accelerating globally, and no society can isolate itself from others. At present, however, we are experiencing the paradoxes of the process of globalization. The more societies converge in their technical and economic interconnectedness, the more culture differences become apparent. Religions, who should create bridges of communication, mutual understanding, respect, and cooperation, should positively influence the moral climate of reciprocity often play the opposite role. The legitimate defense of cultural identity, if not combined with efforts to understand and respect others, becomes a weapon in cultural wars, then can escalate into hot wars, as we are witnessing today. The process of synodality, the common way, must be applied in parishes and the life of the church. Still, it should inspire coexistence in the whole family of humanity. The church was born at Pentecost as a sacrament of understanding. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles could address people of different cultures, peoples and languages with clarity and conviction. Let us present to this healing power the wounds of the church and the world. The fruitfulness of reform and the future vitality of Christianity depend on rediscovery of the relationship to the spiritual and existential dimensions of faith. Renewed and newly understood Christian spirituality can make a significant contribution to the spiritual culture of humanity today, even far beyond the churches. When Francis of Assisi heard in a vision God calling him three times, "Francis, go and repair my church, which, as you see, is all in ruins," at first he understood God to mean repairing the small ruined chapel of San Damiano in Assisi, which he did. Only later did he realize that he was called to help radically rebuild the entire ruined Roman church. Perhaps even Pope Francis and the whole Catholic Church is only gradually realizing that the synodal renewal is a process that does not concern the Catholic Church exclusively. It is about much more than the transformation of the clerical mentality and rigid institutions of the Catholic Church into a dynamic network of mutual communication. Synodality requires solidarity, cooperation, compatibility, and the ecumenical communion in the broadest and deepest sense of this word. It is more than unity among Christians, with all human beings and all forms of life on earth. We form one body. The Spirit of God, the Spiritus Creator, is constantly creating, animating, and transforming this body. The unfinished symphony of creation. It lives and works through our hope, faith, and love. It is constantly transcending and breaking down all the boundary walls we have erected between us and within us. Holy Spirit, lead us across the existing mental boundaries to universal brotherhood that will only culminate in the arms of God at the omega point of the drama of creation and history. May He give us much courage, perseverance, humility, and wisdom on this synodal journey. Thank you.